think that it's okay because they have a specific goal. Your take, sir, Mr. Moussaoui.
Well, again, I go back to the same priority. There is a topsy-turvy, there is an upside-down vision. I believe there is a kind of blurred vision here that people, they don't know how to make their priorities. When you talk about Syria, for example, you talk about a regime that has always been supporting the resistance movements, has always been supporting Palestine, has been working in order to sabotage all the efforts to normalize the relations with Israel. And we see the kind of attack against it. There are a lot of regimes in the world and in the Arab world and the Islamic world who have been having direct and contact channels with the Americans and sometimes with the Israelis. And I believe the regime itself, it has acknowledged and admitted that they have to do a lot of restoration, they have to do a lot of reform, and they were open to do that, but they were not given any chance. I'm not trying here to defend anyone. I'm only trying to say, as Muslims, we should have a very clear vision about what we really need to do, what kind of priorities. If there was an opportunity, if there was a window in order to make this change via political ways, why go into the bloodshed? This is the thing. When these kind of things happen, and when we see that the Americans, the Israelis, the backward, the retrogressive Arab regimes, they all support to bring down a certain regime, you would wonder, is it really the demand of the people? Is it really the thing that we want to see happening? Or is it like boiled down for the interest of the Americans and the Israelis, especially at this time in the juncture of history in the world?
All right, stay with me, please, Mr. Moussaoui, Mr. Chaudhry. I'll go and cross over to some of our Facebook comments and check out what some of our viewers are saying.
All the armed groups, militants, and terrorists are state-funded by Saudi Arabia. Mujahideen, not terrorists. This is not in Islam that gives us permission to kill others. Saudi Arabia and Qatar are the only countries which support the Israeli agenda.
What do you think about that, Mr. Chaudhry, that Saudi Arabia and Qatar are actually supporting an Israeli agenda as we see so much of this chaos taking place in the Muslim world? Don't you think that actually it would be the Zionist regime that would be the biggest benefactor?
You know, when you look at these regimes like the Saudi regime or indeed the Iraqi regime, you must appreciate that their foreign policy is based upon establishing certain interests and maintaining them. So there's no doubt the Saudi regime may support certain factions in order to establish economic interests, maybe military interests, maybe even strategic interests to make sure that they can maintain themselves in power. But let's not be under any illusions whatsoever. The Saudi regime, the Iranian regime, the Iraqi regime, in fact the Syrian regime, none of them give sovereignty and supremacy to Allah. None of them implement the Sharia. All of them are enemies to Islam and the Muslims. And what I can say to you is that the true Mujahideen, the true Muslims in the whole of Sham and Iraq, who are currently, for example, ISIL and those who are supporting the jihad, have one thing on their agenda, which is the priority of jihad fi sabilillah, to put the authority back in the hands of the Muslims so we can implement one leader who is called the Khalifa to implement the Sharia. Now, that is not taking place anywhere in the world today. There's no country implementing the Sharia. This needs to be absolutely clear.
Let me just jump in here. Let me just jump in here and interrupt you, Mr. Chaudhry. So do you think that this is going to come about via bloodshed? As our Facebook viewer said about the bloodshed, you're talking about these two entities that are operating in Syria, in Iraq right now, and other places that are actually responsible for terrorist acts. So do you think that is a way to implement Islamic law?
Well, let me just say this. Look, the obstacles in the way of the establishment of an Islamic state and the Khilafah are twofold. One of them are the intellectual obstacles, meaning people nowadays believe in democracy, secularism, many ideas and philosophies which are completely alien to Islam. However, the other obstacles that we have is the regime itself and the armies and the Republican Guard which hold them in power. There's no doubt at all that that requires jihad to remove the authority and to put that into the hands of the Muslims. Now, people may say, oh, you're killing innocent men, women and children. But I can think of no examples at all where the Mujahideen are actually targeting them. It may be that they are caught in the crossfire.
So
but
we're
it's
talking
not on
about
the agenda
bombs. Excuse me,
of the Muslims
excuse me,
whatsoever
sir.
To attack women and children.
We're talking about bombs being exploded. We're talking about suicide bombers going into residential areas, blowing themselves up, where there
well,
are women and
true.
Children
this
and civilians.
True.
How can you say that
well, you know,
they were caught in the crossfire?
What we have seen is that for the last, you know, few decades, there has been a big propaganda machine targeting the Mujahideen, wherever they are rising. Now, I would say to you, and I've said many times over your program, that thousands upon thousands of Muslims from Chechnya, from Australia, from Britain, from Europe, have gone to Syria and Iraq. They have not gone there to kill women and children. They have gone there to support their Muslim brothers and sisters to remove the Assad regime and bring the Sharia. Now, for you to say that they are there to kill women and children is just nonsensical. Nobody with any rational logic will accept that.
Yeah, definitely. There's not a whole lot of rationality on the ground right now. We can see that. Mr. Mousavi, your take, our guest is talking about the various entities on the ground in Syria and that they did not go there to kill women and children, but we are seeing a lot of women and children and innocent men being killed. And at the same time, we have reports now talking about Saudi Arabia and its connection and actually even supporting, working hand in hand with Mossad. So I want to look at that Saudi connection in all of this. And actually your perspective on them and trying to create this chaos on the ground.
Well, in this part of the world, I mean, we're living in Lebanon, and the people in Lebanon and Syria, they know very well about the roles of the regional powers in this part of the world. And when he talks about those who came from the four corners of the world in order to carry out al-jihad, in order to support their fellow Muslims, if it wasn't their intention, but by the end of the day, we see that it is all bloodshed, it's killing black civilians, it is dealing with them in a very sinister way, it is giving a very bad image about Islam and the Muslims, it is distorting the image of Islam. If they have real good intentions, they should carry out Islam the way it is. It's the religion of mercy, it's the religion of peace. It is not that killing and chopping the heads and taking the hearts of people and eating them in front of the cameras. I believe this kind of images that have been propagated all over the world, the kind of horrible things, atrocities that have been perpetrated, that have been shown, is a very bad image about Islam. I don't believe this is any kind of al-jihad that we can feel proud of or we can call for. I mean, if they want to fight the enemies, the Zionists, they are there. They are usurping the occupied Palestine. Jerusalem, the Aqsa Mosque, they are really coercing and they are persecuting the Palestinians, killing them, isolating them. I mean, where are their operations against the Israelis and the Israeli occupation? Why don't we unite ourselves all over the world in order to stand up to the American and to the Israeli occupation and conspiracies against our countries? We know very well they are the number one supporters of the regimes and the despot governments. Why don't we rise against them?
Well, what about that, Mr. Chaudhary? What about that? We know that the Palestinians have been suffering for many, many decades now. And yet we do not see these so-called groups actually trying to liberate their fellow brothers and sisters in Palestine.
Yes. I mean, there's no doubt at all that, the Sharaf al-Anbiya, Bayt al-Maqdis is the honor of all of the prophets and is very important for us, part of our own aqidah. In fact, this particular place was the first Qibla and it needs to be liberated. But the thing is, the presence of Israel, in fact, is a symptom of the lack of the Sharia as a way of life. And what I would say to your guest in Lebanon is that it's not about the image of Islam. It is about the Quran and Sunnah and acting upon it. And what we find today is, for example, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and ISIS, they are trying to implement the Sharia, and they put sovereignty for Allah. And if this project is successful, and we make dua that it is successful, once we establish the Khilafah, of course Israel will be on the agenda. But when they face an enemy, you know, which has an army, when they face the Khilafah and they face the, you know, the Muslims who can formulate an army under the Sharia, I think this will remove Israel and bring the authority back for the Muslims.
Okay,
at the moment, they're just facing
I'm almost out of time. Mr. Mousavi, your take. He says it's not about the image, but we know, as far as the Islamic prophet Muhammad always talked about, it's very important, actually, what we do and also the image that we portray for others. Who benefits the most when we're showing these type of images all over the world in the name of Islam, although we know it has nothing to do with Islam? Who do you think benefits the most?
It is very evident. We talk about Israel, we talk about America, we talk about the enemies of Islam. They are the number one benefactor of everything that's happening right now. And when he talks about the governments that are not supporting, when he talks about why not having the Sharia or the Khilafah, and this is going to solve the problem and Israel will be on the agenda, we know very well that, I mean, when you talk about Islamic jurisprudence, when you talk about the explanation and the interpretation, we have to know there is no one single united vision about Islam, about the Islamic Khilafah. That's why I believe Muslims should come together, should have this kind of dialogue. We are the religion of word, we are the religion of science, we are the religion of knowledge, we are the religion of debate. We're debating now.
And on so this debate, like, and we're at the end of this particular
kind of
debate
open,
because we're out of
debate.
Time. But I appreciate you being with us, Mr. Ibrahim Mousavi, political commentator out of Beirut, and Mr. Anjam Chaudhary out of London, Salafist cleric. And as always, we appreciate you viewers being with us. Thank you so much. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for The Debate.